Join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
Well, man, it's a great honor and a privilege to bring the Word of God today. And I do not count it lightly to stand in this pulpit where my pastor, my mentor, my father stands on a regular basis, because it's here that we can find freedom. It's here in the Word of God that we can really find what true freedom is all about. And we've been in a series entitled Giving God's Way. And I want to continue in that thought of giving, because senior graduates, for those of you that are transitioning into college, giving is something that you have to grab hold of at a young age. It's easier to grab hold of it at a young age than an old age. Can I get a better amen? And if you can grab hold of this concept of giving and being a good steward of what God has given you, then you have a leg up on the competition around you. And when I say the word Bernie Madoff, or the name Bernie Madoff, what comes to mind? Not good things. Not good things that I could probably say from this pulpit. But Bernie Madoff made his fortune, $50 billion empire, by taking people's money and supposedly investing their money. Now, when the economy started to fall apart, so did this empire of Bernie Madoff, and his house of cards tumbled, and he was arrested and considered a criminal. Now, these people invested their money into Bernie Madoff's empire, his financial institution, and they expected him to manage in such a way that they would get more money back. How many of you have ever done that in your life? You put money in, you expect a little bit more in return, okay? So when they started going and wanting to withdraw their money, they found that there was nothing there for them to pull from. And people that were near retirement, businesses that had invested money, crumbled because of his lack of stewardship. Now, we find this principle in the Bible, and it's part of giving God's way. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to be turning to the 13th verse. 14th verse. You want me to change it one more time? 15th verse, no, 14th. Matthew chapter 25. Listen to me in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. So with that thought in mind, let's read Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Now, can I stop here for a moment? Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Jesus is giving a parable, and he's talking in context with the end times. And we're talking about revelations, and I'm not going to reveal the Antichrist today or a date or a time when the world ends, okay? But with that said, Jesus is talking about the end times here. And in chapter 24 of Matthew, he gives this long discourse to his disciples, and then he illustrates that with three parables on the back end in Matthew chapter 25. Now, with that said, you got to understand the three parables for this portion of stewardship to really make sense. Number one, the Matthew 25, 1 through 13, he says it's the parable of the 10 virgins. It's that we may then be ready to attend upon Christ. At any moment, we don't know when the end is coming. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. So what he's saying is he's giving us a glimpse into the future. He's giving a review with the answers to the test of life. And he's saying, look, you don't know when, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to be like a thief in the night. So what I need you to do is to really make ready your lives to attend upon me. Be about my business, is what he's saying. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus tells his parents, he says, why were you looking for me? He's been in the house of God. He said, look, I'm about my Father's business. And I think there's some truth in that. We have to grab that and really start to think, you know what? I know my business is economics. I know my business is pipe fitting. I know my business is this. But really, our business as followers of Christ is our Father's business. It's about souls. It's about the kingdom of God advancing and enlarging. Can I get an amen? All right, so then we find the parable of the three servants, the talents, and this is so that we can be ready to give an account. How many accountants do we have in the house today? Just one. That's me. I understand about giving an account. And God is a God that really desires us to give an account. He likes numbers. He wrote a whole book on numbers. Loves them. Ba-dum-tsh. Wah, 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 wah. Pastor Greg is notorious for this. He's meticulous in everything that he does. How many of y'all know that about Pastor Greg? I love this about him. And but there will be hours upon hours in a day for him searching for 5 cents in the checkbook. How many of y'all know that? How many of you are like that? There's some... Taylor raises her hand. Taylor. That's his daughter. It's great. It's a good characteristic. I promise you. But what Christ is saying here is, look, you need to be kind of like that with your life, because you're going to give an account in the last day. And then the final parable that he talks about is the last judgment. We will be judged someday, somehow. Are you with me? Are you following? Now, again, it will be like a man on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. Good job. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. Another good job. But the man who received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man, say the man, who had received the 1 talent came to his master. He said, I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. Okay. Jesus kind of ends on a hard note there. How many of you would say, that's hard. Jesus. And many times, we look at these parables and we're almost gripped with fear. In John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus gives his discourse and he comforts the disciples. Oh, I will give you my Holy Spirit. I will be with you. And in here, in Matthew, it's an admonishment to the disciples saying, look, this is a warning. I want you to understand, I am coming back. I will come back for my church. And I'm giving you a warning. How many of you have ever given a warning to your kids? How many of you have seen that warning just go out the window? Not my kids, because they obey on the first time. I might be striked from God right here. But I see this in the scripture, and it's hard. And it's really hard, but it's freeing, because he's giving us the answer to the test. He's telling us what we need to look like for his return. Now, if his return comes and we're alive, man, we're ready for that. But if we go to the grave, we're still ready to meet Christ face to face based on what he is trying to tell us here in his scripture. Now, I want to pull a few things out of the scripture. Number one, the master gives, the master goes, and the master settles the accounts. Okay, who's the master? Christ. He goes. In Acts chapter 1, he ascends into heaven. He's gone. He's going to prepare a place for us. Now, he promises us along the way that he will come back. All throughout the scripture in the New Testament, he's promised us that he will come back and he will settle his accounts. All right, let me pull this out. Number one, everything belongs to God. The master gives. Those talents are not their own. Those talents come from Christ alone. And what I pull from this scripture is that everything I own belongs to God. Let me listen to this in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not shift like shifting shadows. Man, say that like 15 times. I get this. I pull this from the scripture. Everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have is really on loan. Now, let's pull back. When you were a kid, and graduates, you'll get this. How many of you got money from your parents? That's good. How many of you still get money from your parents? That's good. Good job, Ryan. We're going to hang out after service today. It's awkward, Henry. When you cough and you can't talk. But when you have a perspective that everything you have is on loan, it makes it a lot easier to give. When my parents used to give me money, it was a lot easier to spend. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? Here's 20 bucks. Bam, movie, done. When I started making my own money, $20 for a movie? Whoa, I don't know. I used to get a Peach Slice Plus 44-ounce Smoothie King every morning in college. And I was living on their money. And bam, $8 every single time. Yeah, y'all like, whoa, $8 every day. When I left the college and I started working, I've never since had one Peach Slice Plus. It's easier to spend. It's easier to give out the money. Casey used to come up to college. I had the board card. I'd take her to the little convenience store. Baby, anything you want, it's yours. You want hot fries? I'll give you hot fries. You want Coke? You got Coke. You want some popcorn? I'll give you popcorn. It was easy. But when I started working at Exxon, and baby, we're eating ramen. A little different. There's something different. It's so much easier to give. And so when you have a perspective, you know, it's God's money. I can hold it loosely. I'm going to be a good steward. I'm not going to be stupid and put it on Peach Light Plus and hot fries and things like that. But I can hold on it loosely. And I can give it where He wants me to give it. I'm not this hoarder. I don't have to have it to myself. It's easier for me to just release it. See, everything belongs to God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, write this down. All the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. Man, as a steward of God's resources, understand this, young people, man, as you're going into college, understand it comes from God, and those that refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And if we can get a hold that it's God's anyways, man, we become these givers. We become free with our money, and we start to put it into places that God can bless it and refresh us in return. Are you with me? Number two, don't compare yourselves to others. When we compare, everyone loses. See, one got five talents, one got two talents, one got one talent. In life, it's so easy from a young state, especially in junior high, you start to compare with what you have and what you don't have, especially if you don't wear uniforms at school and you start to wear some stuff that was in style like 3 years ago, and those kids start to look at you a little bit different. We start to compare very early, at an early age. And let me tell you something, when we compare, if you come out on top or bottom, you lose. If you come out on top and you're better than, well, then the pride starts, and that's right before the downfall. If you go low, then you start to have this poverty mentality and you cannot get back up to their level. See, when we compare, we lose. Everyone loses. And I think in this sense, it doesn't matter how much God has given you. It's just understand that God has given you. If all you have is one, it doesn't matter. If that's all you have, that's all you have. And we have to come to the peace of God that, hey, where I is where I is. And I am going, and that's not good English, but that's our pastor's English. And where I is where I is. I need us to realize, you know what? When we start comparing, most of the time what we're doing is we're comparing with our neighbor. We're comparing in America. We're kind of looking down the road and saying, wow, she's got a Beamer. All I got's a Honda Accord. Wow. If we could pull up, if we really wanted to compare, get an aerial view, get a worldly view. Statistics would tell us that if we make more than $25,000 as a household for the year, we are a part of the 10 richest people in all the world. If we compare here, we're in poverty. If you make over $50,000 annually as a household, both combined, you are in the top 1% richest people in all the world. And that blows my mind, because here in America, all we do is we compare here and we compare here just in our local circumstances, and we say, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. Well, my plasma screen's only 42 inches. You got a 60-inch plasma screen TV. Oh, poor me. If we could pull back a little bit and really look at the worldview, we're rich. If we drove in a car to church today, we're rich. If we slept in a bed last night, we're rich. We have been given much. And if I was to really be honest, we all are five-talent kind of people in God's whole scheme of things. And where there is much given, much is required. We should be faithful with what we have in the world's view. Amen? We can't compare ourselves to others. Now, I just compared ourselves to others. But you can't compare yourselves to others. I just did, but you can't. Okay, I'm telling you. Do as I say, not as I do. But really, I just compared so we can get a perspective. It's not about what I have or what I don't have. It's about what I do have. And I got to be faithful with what I do have. And if we can be good stewards of just what we got, I guarantee you there's some things that God can do in that. Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." We have to just compare ourselves to Christ. Instead of others, just get in accordance with that. There's that sober judgment to the measure of faith that God has given us. I'm not going to think of myself as real high. I'm just a five-talent kind of guy. I'm just going to be faithful with right where I'm at, with what I have, with what God has called me to do. Number three, I find in this story that two of the three worked and used their talents. They immediately worked and used their talents. Listen to what it says. It says, the man who had received five bags of gold or five talents went at once and put his money to work. At once, immediately. The book of Proverbs talks about this concept over and over and over again. How many of you are fans of the book of Proverbs? The book of Proverbs is one of my favorite books. If you've never read it, there's 31 chapters. Today is the 30th. Read Proverbs 30. Okay, tomorrow's the 31st. Read Proverbs 31, and it'll get you through the month. And there is so much wisdom. And listen to what it says. In Proverbs 14:23, it says, "All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." Let me say that one more time. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. Now, how many of you know people that just talk and talk and talk and talk? We have golfers in the house today. Give me your hands. Now, there are some golfers that are very good. And most of the time, they're not talkers. They just go out and they do, okay? I play with Travis Elam a lot. Travis Elam, he's this guy that sits in the back there. You don't have to look at him right now. But I don't like it too much, because he'll be on his cell phone making par putts. I am concentrating as hard as I can, shooting for a triple bogey. I don't know where I'm going with this. Okay, I do now. I'm just having a conversation with myself up here. But never once does he ever talk or brag about his game. If he does, he's like, man, I'm just horrible. And he makes this shot, and it's in the left little bit of the fairway. and it's about 300 yards down. He's like, gosh, I just need to quit. I'm in the trees. I'm just like, man. But you know what? He was just been about hard work throughout the years. Man, from a young age, he started golfing and continued to golf all throughout his life. It's come to the place where he would say he's bad right now, but from the average golfer, you'd look at him and go, man, I wish I had that. Man, I wish I had that swing. You see, I think there's something about hard work. Young people, you got to have hard work. I tell the students all the time, look, you know what? There are two teams on each side, and you're both praying for a win. God really doesn't care who's going to win, okay? Let's just be real honest. God doesn't care. But you know what? You know who's going to win? The one that worked the hardest. The one that put their talent to work is going to win. And I think in this story, we got to grab hold of this hard work mentality. We have to know that it's not about the talk, it's about the walk. And we have to grab hold of that and start to use our talents. James 2:18, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. See, again, it goes back to Jesus saying, I'm about my Father's business. Throughout his life, it was just about that business. It was just about doing his Father's will and understanding that that is my purpose, and I have to be a good steward with that. I have to be a good manager of my resources. I have to be a good manager of my life so that I honor God in everything that I do. Do I honor God with my money? Do I honor God with my family? Do I honor God at my work? Am I managing my time? Am I managing my talent? Am I managing my treasure in such a way that God looks down and says, yeah, I can bless that hard work. I can bless that and use that for my kingdom. Number four, faithfulness enlarges your capacity. Proverbs 16:15 says this, when a king's face brightens, it means life. His favor is like a rain cloud in the spring. I read that about a week ago, and it really gripped me. I challenged our students, and I challenged some leaders to start journaling on a regular basis, and we just journal one proverb, one verse for the day. And this verse has stuck with me almost for the entire month. Since the 16th of this month, I've been thinking about this verse, and it says, when a king's face brightens, it means life. His favor is like a rain cloud in spring. I said, God, how do I brighten your face? How can I, as a believer, as a follower of you, how can I brighten your face? Because when your face brightens, you say, it's like the rain cloud in spring. Now, that doesn't mean anything to us, but in an agricultural society, that meant everything. That meant there was about to be provision that was poured out on the people. And so if I can brighten the face of God, I know that his heaven's about to open up over my life. And so, God, how do I brighten your face? I even brought it down in a natural sense. I mean, most of us work under a boss. How do I brighten my king, my boss's face? Because he has the resource and he has the ability in his hand to unleash and unlock God's provision for my life as well. How do I do this? How do I brighten the king's face? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Good. It ain't fancy, but it's right. Faithfulness. Listen to what the story says. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold or 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Now, here's what I believe in this story. I believe that when we're faithful with what God has given us, we have the ability, we have the capability to enlarge our capacity. We have the ability to supersize our lives. Right. Oh, come on. I know some people like to supersize in here. Amen? Would you like to supersize that? Well, yes, I would. See, after a long day of the office, after a long day of golf, which is not the same, when I go out golfing and I walked the first time in about 10 years, okay, and I usually don't walk golf. That's just stupid. Because there's carts right there. Okay? But it was good exercise, and I didn't run that day. So I walk, and we get there, and I'm just, oh, man, I could drink so much water at that moment. And there was nothing because we got caught in a thunderstorm, and we're just sitting under this place so the lightning won't get us. And I just, oh, I need something to drink. Well, the rain starts to dissipate, and we go, and I get in the car, and I drive into the Stop and Go. And there's these sizes of cups. You know what I'm talking about? And I don't want no, just I want some ice and I want a cup. Now there was a small cup, there was a medium cup, there was a large cup, and then there's that Mac Daddy of them all. You know what I'm talking about? That cup's about this size that you have to hold with two hands to get. I mean, it's just oh. And being as thirsty as I was, I reached for the Mac Daddy of them all. And I got that cup and I filled it up. See, that small wouldn't do. And I'm telling you this because we want larger things for our life. But before we can get larger things for our life, we got to be faithful with the smaller things in our life. If we can't give 10% of our tithe, well, then he's not going to entrust us with more. That's just a small part. And through this whole giving series, Pastor said, it's not about the 10%. It's about the 100% of our lives being fully given to God. And if we can fully be faithful in that which God has given to us, he will then point his finger to us, his face will brighten, and the rain cloud will pour over our lives, and we will be enlarged. But it boils down to faithfulness. It boils down to being a good steward with what God has given us. Last, but certainly not least, two out of the three, and I love Jesus for this because in this parable, he gives us hope. I'm glad he didn't just show one that was well done, good and faithful servant. He gave two that were well done, good and faithful servants. But the third one is the biggest of all. Because I would say, though it's two to one in the story, it's probably more the opposite direction in real life. There are probably more of us in this world that probably lean to the lazy servant than the wise servants. And I'm not talking about us in here, but in general, there are more people that lean towards just burying that which God has given them. They bury their talents, they bury their treasure, they bury it in selfish things, and they do not give to God's purposes for their life. See, laziness is the enemy of your blessing. Laziness. And we consider, oh, wow, well, laziness, I'm just going to roll over on my bed. I'm just going to hit snooze button a little bit more. Laziness is considered wickedness here in Scripture. The result, the reward for laziness was utter darkness. It was being cast out of God's blessing. It was being cast out of his presence. And so laziness, in my opinion, is really a heinous crime. It's not really something to just, oh, well, I'm just going to chill out. I'm in a relaxed mode. Oh, God rested on the seventh day. Well, why are you resting on the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth day? All hard work leads to a profit. And I think here we have to really grab hold of, you know what? I think this guy had the sin of omission. Listen to what the Bible says in James 4:17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. See, this guy says, I knew you were a hard man. I knew that you reap where you don't harvest and all this kind of stuff. I'm just, fear had gripped him. And fear, what fear will do is it will immobilize you in such a way to just hide and bury everything that you are into the ground. And when you bury it into the ground, you're not productive and you cannot give into others. You cannot sow and reap into others. You cannot do the things that God has called you to do if you are fearful. But the other two guys got this faith and said, I'm going to take this. I'm going to take what you've given me and I'm going to produce it. I am going to double it. I'm going to enlarge it. I'm going to do my best with all that I have for your kingdom. And when he came back, their reward was great. And I wonder today, if we are being good managers of God's money, of God's talent, of God's time in our life. See, it's just on loan. we are just using it for a mere moment? Are we using it for His business? Are we using it for His glory? Are you tracking? Let's pray. Father, God, I pray that we be good stewards, God, of our life. God, we be good stewards of our time, of our talent, of our treasure. God, I pray that faithfulness would be the cry of our lives. God, that it would be the cry of our heart. God, that we would work diligently with what You've given us. God, that we would have the perspective that everything belongs to You. God, that we wouldn't compare ourselves with others, but God, we would just be faithful with what You have given us. And God, that we would be considered faithful and good servants. God, I pray it in the mighty name of Christ. We all pray and say, amen. Amen, Pastor.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.